Would you turn with me to Genesis? Genesis. Y'all know where to find that one, right? Genesis comes right after the index. Genesis chapter 2. And as you find Genesis chapter 2, I want to remind you, this is June. Do you do know that June, it's less traditional now than it used to be, but do you know what June used to be the month for? Yeah, it was the bride's month. It was the month for weddings, and now people are having, I really don't see any more in June anymore than we used to. I guess that's because churches are booked up, and now everybody's just doing weddings. But, you know, it's something because we just got through celebrating Father's Day, and we talked about fathers. Not too long ago, we celebrated Mother's Day, and we talked about mothers. Well, since this is the traditional month for weddings, I just really felt like this would be a good month for us to talk about marriage again. Because you see, there are a lot of couples in our church. And all of us who are married couples need the help from God's Word and from God's Holy Spirit to do it better. And all God's people said, and we're talking about ourselves, not just about our mate. And all God's people said, it was a little quieter. There's an old story about an angel that came to Adam after he had named all of the animals. This is not biblical. This is just a story. It says that he came to Adam after he had named all the animals, and he said, Adam, we're just talking things over, and God said that he'd like to make somebody for you. And he said, This person will not be like the animals, because this person is going to be different and yet like you. We're going to make a woman. God's going to make a woman for you, and this woman is going to be soft and beautiful, pleasant voice, pleasant demeanor. She's going to serve you. She's going to take care of you. She's going to cook your meals, and if it's ever needed, she'll wash your clothes. And I guess he knew something. But he said, she's just going to take care of everything after she does the meals. And she's going to go wash the dishes. And when all the dishes in the house is taken care of, she's going to come kneel at your feet and just say, honey, what do you want? Adam looked at the angel and said, man, that sounds great. What's it going to cost me? And he said, well, Adam, it's going to cost you your right arm and your right leg. Adam thought about it a minute, and he said, what do you think I can get for a rib? I was listening to a sermon from Adrian Rogers, an old sermon. I guess it has to be because he passed away about 14 years ago. And he had such a great sermon. And I got to tell you, I borrowed this from Adrian. I thought, you know, this is just something that we need to hear in reading and going through this. I just thought it would be very good because, you see, I need this sermon. And my wife needs this sermon. And every husband and every wife in here needs this sermon. So I just want to share with you, would you stand in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to read Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 18. So it says that in verse 18, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. In other words, there wasn't one like him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. That in itself is a sermon to be brought about one day, but today we're going to talk about how man and wife, man and woman are the same and yet different. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we are so thankful for your word. We're thankful, Father, that you give us an understanding, that you give us grace to receive from your word. We know, Lord, that we don't look into your Bible and discover things. You reveal them. So this morning, would you help our hearts to be open, to be revealed to from your Spirit. God, help us to see your will, your way, and your design. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you be seated? Now, what did Adam say when he saw the woman that God had made for him? The Hebrew is Ish and Isha. I talked about this here a couple of years ago and preached a sermon about that. But when he saw her, he said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now, he's been looking at all the animals, and they are beautiful creatures, but they were much too different for him. And he looks at Eve that God created for him, and he says, whoa, she's like me. She is so like me. I like that she is like me. Flesh of my flesh, he said, bone of my bone. Now, the book of Genesis is a seedbed of truth for God's word. It is an understanding of who we are and what we are supposed to be. In God's word, we can see what the pattern for the home is literally in this brief passage from Genesis. If we want to know what his pattern for the home is, it's this. God made someone for Adam who was like him, not an animal. So folks, we know that bestiality is wrong. We know that we don't dwell with animals the same way we do with our husbands, with our wives. God also made someone like him that was not just like him, but was different from him. He made a woman, not another man. So we know that according to God's word, homosexuality is not God's plan. God's plan is for a man and for a woman. And he didn't take several ribs and give him several women. He took one rib and he made one woman. So polygamy is not God's plan. Multiple wives are not God's plan. God presented this woman to him and he said, this is your wife. She is for you. And Adam said, I like it. I like her. She is like me, but different. Now, because she was like him, he liked her. But I'm going to tell you that because she was different, he loved her even more. There is a difference here between this one that he prepared for her and made for her, and there was a real difference. You know, Brenda and I are alike in many ways. If you hang out with us for a little while, you get to know her even through me. As you know, I understand and hear these things that the longer a couple live together, the more they become alike. Have you heard that? I've even heard that the longer they live together, the more they begin to look alike. Have you heard that? Brenda and I will be married for 38 years, and I think she's getting worried about beginning to look like me. I don't think that she's really going to have to worry about that. I get compliments on her all the time. Your wife is so beautiful. Your wife is so beautiful, and you are so sweet. Thank you. Yes, she is, and I try to be. The differences that we have are God designed, and that's what I want to emphasize today. We are different because of God's design, and that difference not only shows us to be different, but it unites us too, folks. You know, there's an old book that says, "Men are from Mars, and women are from Venus. You remember that? And it talks about how we're so different we can't get along. Listen, that's just not the case. God made us different so that we could get along. He made us that way. Please understand that what I share with you today is generalities. I know that there are differences in homes. I know that there are differences between men and women and husbands and wives, to the point that, I could say a generality for most men or most women, and somebody in some marriage says, well, it's not that way with us. Well, I'm talking in generalities. So in general, I hope that you will hear what I've got to share with you today. I know, for example, most men are stronger than most women. And now, until you run across Ronda Rousey, and for those of you who know that name, she was this champion of the ring with women. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to try to beat her up. I think I would come out second in that battle. You know, most men are stronger than women, and yet there are some women that could beat up a lot of men. It's just the way it is, you know. So when I talk about the sexes, I'm speaking in generality. So give me some leeway, okay? Okay. Here's the thing. We know that a hammer and a screwdriver are different tools. They can both work on the same project, but they're very different. They have a different design. Now, which is better, a hammer or a screwdriver? I heard screwdriver and I heard hammer. It depends on the need, right? If you're going to drive a nail, we know that a hammer is better. If you're going to drive a screw, we know that a screwdriver is better. Now, you can use them for one another, but I'm going to tell you that trying to use a hammer to drive a screw is not going to work very well, nor is using a screwdriver to try to drive a nail going to work very well. It's just not going to work. You can probably accomplish it by some point, but I'm going to tell you it's going to be much more frustrating, and you're not going to get work done. It's probably not going to look very good in the end. So you could use a screwdriver for a hammer, but it's not going to work as well. Men and women are different. Men and women are designed different. And sometimes we really could do the same function, the same work as one another, but we're not designed for that. And in the long run, the happiness, the use of the tool and the product is not going to be all that God wants it to be. So let me give you some of God's designed differences for men and women, differences that literally are made to unite us and not to divide us. Now remember, again, I am dealing in generalities. The first difference is what Adrian Rogers called beauty and the beast. Beauty and the beast. That is, men are designed to be physically stronger than women. You know, I love it. Y'all know that I'm an Astros fan. I love to go to the Astros game. And about the third inning, they have what they call muscle cam. And they go around the Minute Maid Park and they show different people and you're supposed to give them a muscle. Now, I've seen some women that would make me not want to show my guns. But, you know, generally, you know, the guys are going to be more muscular, you know, and here they are. And it's fun, you know, they show them. And I love it when they show the kids they're proud of what they got, you know. And it's great. It's a lot of fun. But men are designed to be physically stronger than the women. And the Bible tells us what we already know. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the scripture says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. It's talking about husbands and wives here. To husbands, likewise, dwell with your wife with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the throne of grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So the Bible tells us, men, you need to give understanding and honor to your wife, understanding that she is the weaker physical vessel. God made Adam physically stronger than Eve. His bones are harder. His shoulders are broader. Why did God do that? Why did God make the man with stronger bodies? Because the scripture says that his job was to dress and to keep the garden. You know, they didn't just sit around on a cloud in the Garden of Eden. We're not going to do that in heaven either, by the way. But he had a job. He was to till the garden. He was to dig the garden. He was to move things around. He was to protect it and take care of it. Listen, that takes physical stamina. It takes a strong body. He was both provider and protector. So he was given muscles to dig, muscles to till, muscles to guard. Now, what did God make Eve to be? God made Eve to be the nurturer. Why? Because we know that the name Eve literally means life giver. Hello? The bearer of life. She was made, and her body was made to nurture, to be gentle, to be soft, to cuddle with kids. That's what her body was made for. And God made her different. She is physically weaker than a man, but that does not mean inferior. And all God's people said, amen, she is not inferior. Silk is more delicate than canvas, but it's not inferior. Porcelain is weaker than steel, but you can't drink a cup of tea from a hammer. Folks, we need to understand that though we are very different, God designed us with an understanding that we complement one another, and one is not better than the other, just different. Did you know that God made the woman more fragile than the man? On purpose. Have you ever noticed that women get colder easier than men? Have you ever noticed that? Most of the time, the women are saying, "You got it too cold in here." And the man says, "It's not cold out, cold in here. It's just fine." Listen, why do women have trouble with getting colder quicker and easier than the men do? Because men have almost two times the amount of blood. Two times. The heart is pumping more blood. They can stay warmer than the women. Why do men have two times the amount of blood as women? Because man's body is made up normally and generally with 40% muscle. 40% of their body is muscle. Women usually only have about 25% muscle. So men need more blood to nourish the muscles that are doing the work. Are you with me? Does that make sense? God's design. It wasn't by accident. God designed them that way. Now, women have a muscle volume of about 25% compared to a man's 40%. Now, where's that other 15%? What is it? It is in a cellulite layer that surrounds the woman's body. Why? To help her stay warm because she doesn't have as much blood. Also, guys, it gives her curves. And all the men said, God's design. God has a meaning for things. Now, men need more blood to nourish the muscles. Women need the subcutaneous layer of the, and we won't call it fat, cushion to stay warm and for beauty. I'm going to skip that next point. That subcutaneous layer not only helps keep her warm, and that it not only gives her beauty, but guys, it also it makes her have to gain weight faster because that's just the nature of her. And she gains it faster, she loses it not as fast. Have you ever gone on a diet together? Come on, guys. Anybody out there been on a diet together? Come on. Brenda and I have been doing that. And sometimes she gets frustrated with me because, you know, man, in a week I'll lose 4 or 5 pounds. Next week I'll put on 4 or 5 pounds. But men also have a larger lung capacity. Why do men need a larger lung capacity? To get more oxygen in the blood, to get more oxygen to the muscles, which are working harder because that's the design of the man. Did you know that women have a stronger immune system than men? We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Now, that's perhaps the reason that they outlive us. Ladies, you might not be surprised to know that men have thicker skulls. And all God's ladies said, women's bones are more brittle, men's bones are stronger. Every cell in a woman's body is different She has the double X chromosome and the guys have the XY chromosome. God's design. That's why, guys, the Bible says men are to dwell with their wives with understanding. Think about things. Don't just say, hurry up and keep up. Hurry up. They're weaker. They need your coat when it's cold. They are designed differently. Now, the only time that they're not weaker than we are and have more stamina than us is when they're shopping. I don't understand that yet. When we get to heaven, we'll find out. Guys, we were not made to compete with our wives. We were made to protect her, to provide for her, to love her. We guard our precious things. We guard our valuables. You know, I've got things in the house that I just don't let stay down when, you know, my precious grandson comes over because he's just a bit of a whirlwind. And so we'll take those delicate things that might be sitting out on the counter or the things that I want to protect, and we'll set them up and put them in the other room. Why? Because we want to protect them because they're valued. Guys, men, and ladies, listen. That's the way it's supposed to be with husband and wife. We value and we protect. The man is stronger. She is more delicate. So which one is superior? Neither. Which one is better? Neither. They're just different. It's the way that God made us. Now, we're not only Beauty and the Beast, but we're also Tortoise and the Hare. We are Tortoise and the Hare. Now, you remember the story of the turtle and the rabbit, right? You know that the rabbit took off with all kinds of energy and then got distracted and took a nap, and the tortoise passed him by and the tortoise won the race. Y'all remember? If you haven't heard that story, you can come back and hear that story sometime. Now, men tend to have more energy, and women have more durability. That's just the way we're made. We discussed that men have more blood and thus more red blood cells, more lung capacity, more muscle tissue, but women have the better immune system and tend to live longer. Men are built to provide and to protect, and women are built to nurture. At the age of 20, did you know that a woman's body begins to deteriorate at 2% a year? 2% a year. At age 20, a man's body begins to deteriorate at 10% a year. And after 40, it gets even worse. Men have more energy, but we also tend to burn out quicker. Men are prone to be happier with short-term projects. We talked about the physical. How about the mental and the emotional? We tend to be happier with something we can get done and be finished with. That's why we always enjoy seeing the yard mowed. We always enjoy seeing it mowed. I didn't say we enjoy mowing it. We enjoy seeing the yard mowed. We enjoy the short-term projects that we can accomplish. And women seem to have a stick-to-itness better than we do many times for longer-term projects. So we've got Beauty and the Beast, we got Tortoise and the Hare, and then there's another one. There is the Romantic and the Mechanic. And that goes like this. You see, man's job was to what? Labor and protect, right? That he was supposed to till the garden, work in the garden, have things going together. So God made him with a tough outer shell. He was made to work and protect. Women's job is the homemaker, to love, to nurture, to cuddle the kids, you know. And so she was built with a softer exterior, with a calmer spirit and a calmer heart. We are built different, we think different, and we approach life very differently. Again, which is the superior? Neither. Do you realize that God gave his specific nature to each one of us? God has all of the male protective, the work, the all the things that's needed, and he has the same things that the women have in the ability to stick to it, the softness, the love. He's everything all rolled together. We're just reflections of him in different ways. If you don't believe this, if you've got a DVR at home, I want you to go home together, and I want you to go through the list together, and you just say out loud, who recorded this one? You did. Who recorded this one? She did. You know, you get in there and you see all the Rambos and the First Bloods and all this kind of stuff, and the guys recorded them. And then the one that says, you know, about the, what's that channel you watch, dear? Hallmark Channel. And it's, all the titles say, Love at Christmas. Compatibility in Kansas. And the guy's is First Blood. All you have to do is look at the books we read. All you have to do is look at the shows you watch, but also listen to the things we talk about. Look at our kids. They're different. Have you ever noticed the way that you go to the school and watch the way kids carry their books down the hall? How does a girl carry her books? Cuddled right in front of her. How does a boy carry his books? If he carries one at all. Right? So. You give a little girl a doll and she will cuddle it and she will take care of it. You give a boy a doll, he's going to shoot it, he's going to bomb it, and he's going to try to blow it up. They are just different. And folks, some people say it's a learned thing. I'm going to tell you it's not. It is ingrained. It is encoded in the man and in the woman. Yes, some are different. Sometimes they're maybe not as much as others. But folks, in general, we are encoded with an understanding of who we are. We even see the difference in the Bible. In the Song of Solomon, we see where she talks about her husband. Let me just read it to you from Song of Solomon. I'm not going to read those parts that are real tough because it's family day here today. But she talks about him in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. She says, by night on my bed I sought the one I love. I sought him but did not find him. I will rise now, I said, and go about the city in the streets and in the squares. I will seek the one I love. I sought him, but did not find him. The watchmen who go about the city found me, and I said, have you seen the one I love? Scarcely had I passed him by when I found the one I, help me. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought to him the house of my mother and into the chamber of her who conceived me. So she's looking for her companion, and she says, my love, my love, my love. And now look at what he says. He talks about her in chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and he says this. He says, behold, you are fair, my love. He does say my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats. Apparently that was really good. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. I guess that's flowing, you know. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep which have come up from the washing, every one of which bears a twin, and none is barren among them. She had all of her teeth. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory on which hang 1,000 bucklers. Apparently she wore a beautiful necklace. So. All shields of mighty men. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. So she talks about her man and she says, my love, my love, my love. He talks about his woman and she says, she's a brick house. You know, so he said, man, is she a looker? Woo! He said, my girl, woo, hot dog. I'm telling you, you know, he says, there's just a difference in the way that they look at each other and the way they talk at each other. Why? He describes her that she's a knockout. She talks about how much she loves him. She's turned on by romance, and he's turned on by what he sees. That's just the difference between the sexes. Each one is different. Each one is different. Each one is turned on by something different in the other. Women are romantics. Men are mechanics. They just do what needs to be done. And it causes a whole lot of understanding sometimes. Amen? A lot of misunderstandings. Women are romantics, and they long to have their husbands to be romantics. That's why the Bible talks about our differences and tells us how we sometimes how we need to do things. Guys, go back and read the rest of Song of Solomon or Song of Songs, however it's listed in your Bible there. It'll give you some ideas and it'll give you some direction to go. But women are romantics and men just aren't. They long to see their romantic husband, and they even make plans to try to help him to be. So she plans this late night dinner, and when he comes in, she's wearing something very nice. She turns the lights down low. She lights candles. She turns on the soft music. And she looks over at her husband and he goes. He falls asleep. God just made us different. But that's no excuse not to try, guys. I am not giving you license to lose. I'm telling you that you need to be careful because your wife wants and needs the romanticism. Men, let me just tell you, try to be romantic for your wife. Try. And ladies, don't get too discouraged with us. Keep trying. Guys just don't need as much preparation as you think we do. We're just plain men. And another thing, men and women process information very differently, don't we? I love what Adrian Rogers said. He said, women are like radar, and men are like an old computer. Studies show us that women, and by the way, there was a study in USA Today several years ago, but there was also studies in Psychology Today, even as early as this year, talking about the difference in the brains of men and women. Some of them said they had some and some didn't. They actually said that men and women have brains. They look the same. They tend to be, you know, when you look at them, they look similar. But studies show that when they were presented with a word problem and they had to figure out a word problem, that women used both halves of their brain to solve the problem. Men only used one side of their brain to solve the problem. You see, they talked about the difference between the men's brain and the women's brain because the left side of the brain deals with logic and reasoning and calculations. What side is that? The left side. And then there's the right side, and it deals with feeling, emotion, sympathy, love, intuition. Let me ask you, guess which side the men use? The left. And guess which side the ladies use? Nope, the ladies use both. You always knew we just had half a brain, ladies. The ladies use both sides. You see, there is a thing between the two hemispheres of the brain that connects the brain, and it's called the corpus callosum. And it connects the left hemisphere with the right hemisphere, and it helps them to negotiate and to process things across the two brain halves. And they found that when they compared together a woman's brain with a man's brain, comparative in the size, that the woman's corpus callosum was twice the size of the man's. In other words, they had twice the connectivity going between the two halves of the brain. It's not that women aren't logical. It's not that women are not calculating. It's not that women don't have the reasoning. It's that they use both sides of the brain and they put their emotion and their feelings along with it. So more information is exchanged between the left and right hemispheres with women, which explains their greater verbal skills. It also explains probably their women's intuition, right? That they have an ability to see things and give warnings that maybe we don't see. Women have emotional capabilities on both sides, and men only on the right side, which means it's easier for her to express her emotions, but it's also probable that she has less ability to separate her emotions from her reasoning. They go together. Does that make sense? Generalities. You see, there is a real reason from the creation of man and woman that they think, act, and look at things differently. Women are more emotion-driven, and they want and need all the details. And she can handle all the extra details because she can process them better than men can. A man's brain is more like a simple computer, and he can only pull up and look at one file at a time. We punch the button, it's in front of us, and if you change the subject, we're lost. We look at one file at a time. So the man doesn't work as fast as she does, doesn't cover things as she does, and so when he comes home, she looks at him and she says, "How was your day? What did you do today?" And he, in great detail, lays out for her how his day was and what he did. He said, "Fine, work." And she's not happy with that. She wants detail. She wants to know everything that was going on. What happened? Did you have a meeting? Who was there? And did they like that blue shirt I got you for your birthday that you wore today? He is just not that into the details. Women are more emotion-driven, and they want and need all the details. And men are more fact-driven. The less words used, the better. Don't confuse us. Ladies, it's not our fault. It's a brain problem. A man's brain is like that simple computer, one file at a time. A woman is a code speaker, and a man is a reporter. Now, what do I mean by that? She uses her words to express her emotions. Even when she doesn't talk about emotions, the words she's using are expressing her emotions because it comes from both sides of her brain. So whatever she's saying, it's expressing her emotions. It might be happiness. It might be sadness. It might be confusion. It might be anger. It might be a number of different things, but you're not going to get it necessarily by the words she says. She's a code speaker. And so your wife comes in and you see her and she doesn't seem to be all that happy. So you look at her and you say, "Honey, is anything wrong?" "No." It's the only time she's brief. "Honey, what's the matter?" "Nothing." Which means everything's wrong. Everything's wrong. And that's why when she looks at you and you're about to go somewhere and you're afraid she's going to change again for the fourth time, and she says, "Honey, how does this look?" She's not asking you, "Are the colors nice? Do they match?" She's wanting you to say, "Woo, you remember that Song of Solomon thing? You look great. You're beautiful." That's what she's looking for. She's looking for you to say that she looks beautiful. Now, if she's got her tag hanging off, she's looking for that too. But you need to understand that she's looking for details from you, that you love her and that she's important for you, that she is your number one. That's what she's looking for from you. Women speak in codes, and men is a reporter, because a man just says, she says, "Honey, how does this look?" And he uses that word we use for everything. He says, "We just report the facts, nothing but the facts." Women want the details. Women share, men report. Which is better? It depends on who you ask. Women are like radar. Men are like the computer. They only see the file that's open in front of them. Women see everything and hear everything that's going on around them. Can you imagine if they didn't with kids? I'm going to tell you, women can hear everything. Have you noticed a group of women? You get 8 or 10 of them together, and they'll sit around a table, and there will be 14 conversations going on between 8 women. two of them will be talking here, two will be talking here, two will be talking here, two will be talking here. And then there's these interrelated conversations that are going on. They hear everything. They hear it all. They're just talking away, and all of a sudden across the table, go, oh, nope, that's not right. And they'll come right back to this one. Women get the details that us men don't. She says, honey, I don't think that you should do that. I am not comfortable with this. I don't think that's a good idea. And we're going, why? She goes, I don't know. She says, I just don't think you should have anything to do with those people. Why? She says, I don't know. I've just got a feeling. Listen, guys, you better listen. Amen? Amen. I'm going to tell you, never, 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 in my entire 38 years with my wife, has she ever come to me and said, I don't feel good about this. I don't think you should do this. And shares with me from a sincere heart that she was ever wrong. I'm not saying she wasn't wrong at times. I'm saying that when she shared with me her heart, she said, I just don't have a good feeling about this. I had better listen. Women share, men report. Women are lovers and men are achievers. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Scripture says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So what does the scripture say that the husband is to do? It says, let each one of you love your wife as yourself. So we're to love our wife. And then it says, what is the wife to do? She is to respect her husband. Women are lovers. Men are achievers. God tells the man, love your wife. Why? Because that is her need. Her need is security. That she knows that her husband loves her. And how does she know that her husband loves her? She is verbally driven, not just physically driven to show her, but to tell her. She needs to know that her husband loves her. That's why romance is so important to her. Guys, are you with me? Hello, did I lull you to sleep? Guys, that is why romance is so important to her, because she needs to know that you love her and are willing to invest in her. God tells the woman, he doesn't say, love your man. She does that. She does that naturally. She loves her man, and she tells him. But he tells the woman to reverence your husband or respect your husband. Why? Because his greatest need is to be admired by his woman, both physically and verbally. Does that make sense? God gave women a nurturing instinct, and she is a lover. She gets a blessing when her man is romantic and tender. God gave man the ability to dress and keep the garden. He made him for a tough job to work and defend. He is an achiever. He gets his blessing when the woman notices and says, great job. Men, I close it out with this thought, and that's just this. Would you show your wives and work to show your wives more tenderness, more love, more patience? Give more honor to the weaker vessel, Scripture says. And ladies, if you want to help your guy, cut to the chase. Amen. Cut to the chase with your man. Tell him what you want. The less code, the better. Men are not good code readers. So which is better? Neither. God just made us different, and we both need to work harder at giving what the other needs. Amen? There are two great anchors in our world, in the world of Christianity and in the world of Christian marriage. Two great anchors for your marriage will always be love for the Lord your God and love for one another. And show them both as much as you can. Verbally, physically, emotionally, love the Lord your God and love your mate. God will give you strength to do both. Would you pray with me? We're thankful, Father, for your creation. Lord, we are thankful that you made us alike and different. And Father, I pray for those here in this auditorium this morning. I pray for the husbands and wives that are here together. I pray, Lord, for husbands that may be here without wives. And I pray for the wives who may be here without their husbands. And I pray, God, that you would help each hearing your word today would be encouraged to be all that you made them to be, but also, Lord, encourage them to help their mate, to love, to nurture, to encourage, to respect. And God, I pray that as you do, that we would have eyes and ears to see it, to appreciate it, and to reflect it. God, we know that we do better when we love you, for you are our love, our strength, our shield.